This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to Pressing Matters, where we go behind the headlines and delve into issues related to the media industry. I'm Shazana Mukhtar. It's hard times for journalists around the world, but certainly in Malaysia. In the last 6 months, thousands in the media industry have lost their jobs as traditional media outlets downsize or shut down entirely. And these include giants such as Media Prima and Utusan Malaysia. Joining me on the show today to discuss the state of the Malaysian media industry are Farah Marshita Abdul Patah, Vice President of the National Union of Journalists, and Radzi Raza, spokesperson for media rights coalition Gerakan Media Merdeka, also known as GERAM. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for having us.
For the benefit of those listening who maybe aren't so familiar with the media landscape, can we begin with an introduction of your respective organizations? So let's start with you, Farah.
I am the Vice President for National Union Journalists of Malaysia. So basically, we consist of journalists from six organizations, which is The Star, The Sun, BH Utusan, which falls under NSTP, and also the Chinese Press. Currently, we have around 800 members, and with the retrenchment and everything else, the numbers are, you know, dwindling, but we are hoping that the landscape of the media will change and that National Union of Journalists will move forward. We will be able to champion again the cause of our comrades.
And how about yourself, Razi?
Okay, so GERAM was formed about 6 years ago in a mamak shop in Bangsa, where a bunch of us were thinking that we need to say something, especially during that time there were like so many backlashes against the media industry and no one really wants to take charge. So a bunch of us are mostly journalists. There are some activists as well. So we think that, yeah, we need to form a loose coalition just to speak up about problems that journalists have in Malaysia.
All right. So we are currently facing a really tough time in the industry. Farah, you're with NSTP, and you've had a front row view of the most recent layoffs happening at Media Prima. How did events unfold, and how are people reacting to these latest developments?
Okay, it was actually last week, 543 of us received a letter from our management for the retrenchment program that they announced on November 1st. I remember 2 days prior to 1st November, we were told that management would like to see all of the unions. So basically in Media Prima, we have 5 unions. I remember when I received that message, I told my colleagues, I told everyone, let's not get into a panic mode.
Let's not jump into conclusions.
Let us meet up with the management. It's true enough, retrenchment is on the card. But we were told that there is compensation. They followed our CA.
And CA stands for Collective Agreement.
That's what unions are for. We fight for the CA. And fortunately, we have that. Okay, like when I say fortunately, there's nothing fortunate about this. But then again, the falls were cushioned where the employee said that they will pay according to the CA, which is 1.5 times their basic salary and year of services. So when we receive this, people are sad, upset, people are shocked. As much as there is compensation, there is also the future that we have to think about. Remember that we are, you know, the media industry is small. We are linked to one another. I might be from NSTP, but my husband might be in Utusan. So that's what happening. That is what's happening at that moment. They have families, and this is like year end, you know, going into schools, and you know,
it's the worst time to lose your job.
Yeah, and then it's like,
who has been hardest hit? I suppose in terms of job scope, in terms of the types of jobs, those who have been retrenched, are they from the editorial staff or are they maybe support staff?
It cuts across all borders. So basically, NUNW is affected, NUJ is affected, non-exec are affected, even our editors are affected. So it cuts across the board. But then again, the most would be members like us, lah, you know.
The writers, the content creators.
Yeah, and as journalists, we love our job. It's not about the pay, because this is our life. Like, you know, office is our second home. Where do we go? Like, how do we look forward when this is all that we have been doing for? Like, you know, we've probably been in the industry for like 10 years.
From university, basically.
Yeah, since you graduated. Where do we go from there? So And, you know, with the job climate, you know, they're not, you know, so it's not an easy road for us.
I can hear that. I can definitely hear that. And I think all of us see it as well. Radzi, you come from the perspective of maybe online media outlets, right? And I was really struck by what Farah said about how the journalist community is so interlinked. How are the online media journalists viewing this? Yeah. I guess seeing their print colleagues going through these really hard times.
Online journalists usually come from print too. So I myself came from the Sun. So we are very interlinked. Even in the worst political climates, you would see, like, some say that media in Malaysia is being controlled. So you are basically following the political leaders. But on the ground, the journalists itself don't really have that kind of differences, that kind of separation. I mean, we still work together. When utusan people are having like problems, like since last year when their salaries started getting late, it was other journalists who helped them through our own initiative. So it's because, like Farah said, nobody stayed in journalism because of money. Basically, they stay because of passion. So it's a family as well. Basically, that's why Gram is formed, because we don't want to differentiate between any other media workers. We are journalists. Basically, we are the voices, people on the ground. No matter where we are the direct link between the public and what is happening.
I want to turn to Utusan Malaysia and the frankly disastrous way in which the staff lost their jobs. What's been the experience for the journalists there?
Okay, first of all, it was the VSS. They were saying people who were supposed to get compensation for the VSS didn't receive their VSS money.
And this was VSS that was from 2018, from right?
Yeah, the 2018.
Yeah. Right.
So they didn't receive the VSS money. And then comes the second stage where they receive calls from the bank saying that their loan payments are not being paid by the company. And then the third was where salary is late. They are supposed to pay every 30th. Instead, they must so on the 15th. So people are like, what's happening? It gets to an extent where 2 months' salaries are not coming in. I remember my friend. I remember him, you know, wanting to go to assignments, but the money was not enough to pay for petrol. We basically come together and, you know, help him with his petrol. And that's nothing. That's petrol. It's okay. You know, when we're eating together and, you know, I see my members, the utusan people are not eating. You know, it's like, you think that's not happening in this situation or in this time, but that is happening. Suddenly, one night, we were told that utusan is about to shut down. Okay. And then, like, everyone needs to, the next day, everyone needs to go to the office. And then we receive pictures and messages saying that they need to clear the office. Everyone was crying. And I remember NUJ Utusan was like, had a press conference. And what they were so disappointed about was the management decided not to come down on the ground and explain the situation. So they were really upset, you know. They were, like, left in the dark. Like, even right now, they are still left in the dark without any compensation paid because the company shut down. Who are they going to ask from? So that's what happened to utusan.
Why was there such a complete breakdown of leadership at utusan?
I think they know that their days are numbered. Since 2016, 2017, they started to posting like about 1 million losses like every year. And then we heard stories about their selling of the printing factories in Terengganu and Johor. I think twice after 2018 election, they changed their management editors. And then we heard about the selling of the main shares of the company. And at that time, I think everyone is asking, what is going to happen? Although back of our mind, we know that this spells that, you know, when it happens and you couldn't like quite see it. Yeah, utusan is not the first company that actually like shut down in recent memories. We have 2015 Malaysian Insider. We have also in 2015 ABN Access TV. And then we have Tamil Media, which no one really talks about. And they have been shutting, 4 of the newspapers have been shutting down in the last 4 years.
Even recently.
Yeah. And even like a few months ago. Yeah. The problem is when we write about things about journalists, I think the public didn't really like didn't really, not, I'm not saying they didn't care, but they didn't really like, they didn't really,
it didn't capture their attention.
They didn't capture, yeah, they didn't understand. Yeah. So it's, but it's there, it's there. When you sit around on the table, there's always, since 2017, 2018, there's always like discussion about the declining state.
I'm speaking to Farah Marshita of the National Union of Journalists and Radzi Raza of Media Rights Coalition Gerakan Media Merdeka. We'll be discussing more about the state of affairs of the Malaysian media industry after these short messages. Stay with us on Pressing Matters, BFM 89.9. Hello, if you've just joined us, you're listening to Pressing Matters, where we go behind the headlines. I'm Shazana Mukhtar, and with me on the show today are Farah Marshita Abdul Patah, the Vice President of the National Union of Journalists, and Radzi Raza, spokesperson for Media Rights Coalition Gerakan Media Merdeka. Before the break, we were discussing how the decline in the media industry has been a long time coming. So despite the signs, why were some media companies slow to react to that?
When it comes to Utusan, I think the main problem is they have been heavily relied on the government, on the aid of, you know, distributing the newspaper, especially in news agency, in schools, and after the election, that is no longer on the table. So that is, I think, one of the root causes of Utusan's fall down. And yeah, like Razi said just now, when it comes to journalists, when it happens to Utusan, I remember reading the comment, and I tell you, we journalists, I think, falls under the category of dislike people in the world. They were not sympathetic to us. Yeah. People don't understand. People do not see that as, oh, we pity you. Yeah. You know, in fact, what happens is people say, serves you right.
Yeah.
Because all this while, you have been the mouthpiece, you know, carrier of the government. That's what happens to Utusan and even NSTP. And the thing is, when that happens, when the public looks down on us, looks down on, you know, journalists, looks down on the media, where do we go from here? Online media are fortunate because, you know, they see that as an alternative voice to the media. But for us, the print, we have to fight against that. You know, we have to fight that. We are not the mouthpiece. And even if we are, is it our fault? We have no say in determining what is the story that is going to be published or, you know, comes out in our paper. Hate us all you want. But then again, we're just doing our job, just like everyone else. I feel that the industry is going nowhere until we change the perception of the people. We have to change the perception of how people look at the media. And
Do you think there are efforts now to do that? Do you see that post GE14 perhaps? Is there more political will to do that?
Let's not talk about political will for a while, because I think the two things that we should do as journalists and as media itself, first is to ensure that we didn't rely on politics and politicians to guide us.
Yes, or and to help us to boost our...
We need to realize it is ourselves. When we found Geram, there's two things that we think is a question that should be answered by us, the journalists. First is to ask every journalist that, why are we journalists? Why do we become journalists? For who should we do? What does our job entitle us to? And the second is to the public. Because if the public wanted a check and balance, so they need the media, they need the journalists. We are professional, like it or not, we are professional in our job. And most of us still have that. We still have that idea. No one becomes a journalist without that sense of idea and the passion to do our work. But yeah.
So it's not just on media, or it's not just on the government or politicians. It's really on everyone taking sort of the initiative to create this kind of media environment that is helpful both for those working in media as well as the public that is receiving the benefits of good journalism, right? Coming back to your point about political influence and how politicians and political parties really shouldn't have the control over the media like it did in the past, what are your thoughts on private groups then having control over media? What are your thoughts on private monopolies of the media? And do you see this situation emerging or happening in the Malaysian media landscape?
Okay. First of all, reality check, okay? There's no such thing as like complete media freedom or something like that. One thing I want to highlight first is, you know, stop using proxy. Stop putting your people inside the media company so that, you know, you can determine what story to write. Stop that. If you want to do that, fine. But at least please be balanced. You know, I understand in reality, when you work, you have bosses. You have to listen to your bosses. Understand that. But then again, please let us be fair. Have that media balance, whether it's private, whether it's, you know, it's government. Because if you don't have that, like I said again, it will go back to the, you know, people's perception towards us. People would not trust us because people think we are the mouthpiece of this. Private company pun, they have their own interests that they have to serve. But then again, be balanced. When you have that, perhaps, you know, people would be able to trust journalists more rather than the bloggers out there, because they feel that, you know, the bloggers are much more truthful because they have no bosses to report to. We cannot move forward unless and until you stop controlling us. Even if you want to control us, please be balanced. Have that side, you know. And then people would trust us. When people trust us, journalism or the media industry would go up.
Yeah, I agree. But under the balance, we do need transparency as well.
Yes.
Because they're mulling on political ownership on the media, right? On top of that, we wanted at least to make sure it's transparency ownership. At least we will know who the companies are. As a smart news consumer, you could see, you could like compare it to yourself. And then when we have good enough environment and there's so many media companies, and then it's, you know, it's beneficial to the consumers because they could choose, they could compare, they could pay. Because we always ask the readers not to only read from one sources. You need to read for everyone. And yeah.
True. When the industry is like, you know, blooming, and then people have that choice. So when people are choosing, then, you know, you have to follow the readers.
So what would you want to see happen now? What role do you think the government could play, or what should the government be doing moving forward to prevent or make it difficult for something like the Utusan situation to happen again?
I mean, for us, the best thing is to ensure that the laws are being followed. I don't think the government should like really involve in a business decision.
Yes.
Because that is very bad. But the thing is, the media environment in Malaysia, because we have things like PPPA Act, License Act, that basically it makes hard for a media company to be formed. So, and that's why we have portals, because in the 90s, in the early 2000s, it was the only way to create a media company. So I think that they should do away with all the laws that prevented media company being set up. I think we could benefit more with more competition on the media. I think the closest we could see is the Indonesian experience after 98, where they revamped their media environment. They give power to basically press council and just hands off the government and make sure that there's enough fertile ground to nurture new media companies.
Okay, all right. So that's actually something well within the government's power. Yes. If they were serious about creating a media environment that's beneficial for all.
Be open up, like, you know, this PPP Act, you know, Printing and Publishing Act, and this, Sedition Act. Please let, you know, how are you going supposed to have media council when you don't even abolish this thing first?
Yeah.
Come on, abolish this thing first. Then we talk about media council. Then we talk about, you know, how improving everything else. You can't even let go of this act, which is like, you know, holding us back.
Yeah, for that I'm really, really, because we are holding Dato' Abdul Kadir Yassin, because he promised that As the advisor, he would try to ensure the government to just repeal all this act before the media council is being formed. So we really wanted the government to hold to that promise.
All right, and we're going to keep watching what the government does on this. I've been speaking to Farah Marshita Abdul Patah, Vice President of the National Union of Journalists, and Radzi Raza, Spokesperson for Media Rights Coalition Gerakan Media Merdeka. This has been Pressing Matters on the Morning Run. We have the 10 a.m. news bulletin coming up, and then it's over to Enterprise. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.